Nicely with Martin Bester.
It is my pleasure to welcome in studio the new executive mayor of City of Tshwane, Dr. Nosipho Moyo. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you, Martin. How are you?
Very well, thank you. What a time. Before we get into all the mayoral stuff, I want to take you back. See, you were from Mthatha, Eastern Cape. Kola's side of town. Yes, that's where it all started.
Yes, so in fact, we say we're from Mthatha. I'm usually from Bikwana. It's a village about 60 kilometers away from town. But you know, I must sound normal to people and say I'm from Mthatha. But no, I'm from Bikwana. Yes, so basically born and bred there. Spent the first 15 years of my life there before I went to for high school. I went to Cape Town for high school and university. First years of my career. Then I moved to Gauteng.
Okay. Do you know that village?
I don't. What would be the nearest town?
Mqhekezweni.
Mqhekezweni,
where Nelson Mandela was born. Yes. We even have a school there. The kids from my village, they go to a school named after Mandela. So.
Yeah. See, I'm from the other side of Mthatha, if you look at villages outside Libode.
Ah, I see.
Because no one from Mthatha is from Mthatha, really.
Yeah.
It's one of those.
We converge in Mthatha, yes. But you know, we're not from Mthatha.
Not really.
That's why we shop.
That's why when people say they're from Joburg, they could be from Roodepoort, they could be from Kempton Park.
That's the idea. So when people ask North Crest, I'm like, no. Actually not from Mthatha. We're not misleading people intentionally. We're trying to be normal.
Make it easy. Yeah.
Cape Town. You spent quite a bit of time. You say you went to school there?
Yes, well? So I went to a school in Philippi. My high school is Zisukanye Secondary School. So I was there grade 10, 11 and 12 before I moved. And I was staying in Gugulethu.
Okay.
And then from there, I moved to UCT. I spent how many years? 3 plus 1 plus 2, 6 years at UCT. Didn't leave school until I had my master's degree and then straight to real world.
Doctorate, is it political science? So you knew pretty much that's how a person knows you want to go into politics.
Yeah, not really. Spent until this January.
Yeah.
I actually said I'll never be a politician or public representative. You know, it's funny. I promise you. And because I was introduced to politics in at school, when I was doing my first year.
Okay.
So I was supposed to be an economist because I heard Trevor Manuel talking about economists at some tour that we took to Parliament. So I said, no, I'm going to be an economist. Remember, I come from schools, I was in a mad school until grade 9 and then went to a township school. So career advice wasn't something that was normal to us. So I was with my friend Pelogazi and then Trevor Manuel kept talking about, the economists are here. So I looked at him girl, I'm going to be an economist. So I applied to get into become economics at UCT. But my maths wasn't good, so I didn't get in. But the career advisor said to me, listen, money is guaranteed here. If you take UCC, you won't have money to study. So take it and take whatever program that they give you. And then you can, if you pass, you can change it in your second semester or second year. So I took BA law and then I took politics and philosophy as my majors. First lecture, the intro to politics, I was like, oh, I'm in love. When they said, listen, in politics, there's no right and wrong. The strength of your argument determines the right. I was like, oh, I'm home. Never left politics. So I then studied politics. But when we and then I started public policy and administration on my second year.
Okay.
Then I remember our lecturer, Miss Mary Simons, Mbeki was still the president at the time. And she said, listen, in South Africa, we're not short of visionary leaders or politicians. But none of the policies that we have get implemented. We actually need implementers. So from there, I got influence that I don't need to be a politician, but I can work behind the scenes, which is what I've done until this January this year.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've never really wanted to be a politician.
Well,
I didn't mind to support them, by the way. That's what my life has been. And I mean, it gave me joy to support.
What's wrong with politicians? It's
not what is wrong with them, but there's part of the system I didn't enjoy.
Sure. Which part?
sometimes politicians get self-centered and they forget about what why they got into the game for. And for me, that frustrated me. I mean, the fact that I still go home, my village is still the same as it was when I was born. And not because we've been short of politicians and visionaries in this country, but yeah, I just didn't enjoy that part of the system. And also, I mean, there's more to the system, which one day we may even unpack it in terms of how the system is designed. And I don't enjoy that part, and I struggle with it, I won't lie.
This is going to be an awkward transition, but let's talk about Herman Mashaba and other politicians. I'm glad you're here, because what we sometimes read and consume in the media and the press and the print and on social media specifically can sometimes be confusing and misleading. The one thing I didn't understand that is not still not clear to me is what was the problem with Sylvia Brink? What was, because it seemed to happen overnight in our mind. I know that's probably not how it worked in reality.
Yeah.
But still, and listen, to be fair, we asked the very same question about the mayoral situation in Johannesburg.
Yeah. Mm.
Because you must remember, at the one moment, there was another good doctor sitting in your chair, Mpopalatse. I remember that morning very, very clearly, and sent her off into this mayoral position, and we spoke about what happened previously, and then the next thing, do you remember that?
Yeah.
And then the next thing, she was out, and in my defense, I asked the same question about her. What did she do wrong? What did Sylvia Brink do wrong?
I don't think it's about Sylvia as a person, but I think the coalition. I think the elections of the 29th May and what happened subsequent to the elections changed a lot of things. One of the things that at a national level, I'll tell you at a local level, what were the dynamics? At a national level, the issue of the, what is it called, the something pact, I even forgot its name, what we had with the DA, IFP, VF Plus and all those parties, it breathed a lot of mistrust because of how the parties behave there. So that's at a national level. And we knew, I mean, I remember when, I think it was maybe a week after the elections, we had our Meko caucus. And I said to them, colleagues, we understand that your federal chairperson has made an announcement that the arrangement, the GNU arrangement, is going to filter down to the province and it's going to come down to metros. All we are asking for, please be upfront with us. This was at a Meko caucus. Then he assured us, no, none of that is happening. But what his party was announcing out there through the federal chair and their negotiations with the province was that that model is going to be replicated down to the metro levels. So it did start to breed the mistrust among us to say we're not even in control of it at a local level. So that was the dynamic that obviously had the influence at a local level. Then because of this, then we started asking the questions internally in the party.
Action essay.
Because what I know for sure is that when I came in as a deputy executive mayor, one of the mandates I had was go and make sure Tshwane is stable. Because we need Tshwane to showcase how this multi-party pact can work. And we worked very well. I mean, bend over backwards, trying to make sure that, you know, we present Tshwane as a working coalition, which I don't think some members of the DA, even in our coalition and VF Plus, understood how much it took, even for me to make that, you know, the coalition stable between myself and Sylvia. The conversations we're having just to make sure that the coalition, I mean, he would concede on certain things, I would concede on certain things just to make sure that the coalition is stable. And then, so then the elections happened and then he gave assurances, nothing is going to change. And then the conversations internally started, especially with the conversation in Joburg. So the moment that door was open in Joburg, obviously the African National Congress then entered the conversation and said, if you can do it in Joburg, I'm sure you can do it in Tshwane as well. This is the proposal that we have. And then we've always raised our issues in the coalition in terms of the motions that would raise about service delivery. And obviously that would be contained within the coalition because the coalition rules didn't allow us to go out there, right? And one of the things that we were talking about was, but we are unhappy about the quality of services that go to the townships. And we have previously, I mean, for instance, fought for the issue of Hammanskraal water, the issue of relocation of Mamelodi flood victims, infrastructure issues in townships like Soshanguve, sewer networks and stuff. And so when then the conversation started with the ANC, then we agreed, oh, so we have something in common. We want to equalize the quality of services in the townships. And that's what happened. I actually think I've said it to the party as well, that compared to the previous mayor of the DA, Celia was very accommodative. I mean, I've said it to Celia. He's got my text message where I said to him, I have reported this to the party. Compared to Randall, I think Celia was very accommodative to us because we were...
Was he more agreeable?
It would depend on the issue. I think the way...
But in your estimation, he was more agreeable.
Yeah, he was. I mean, you just had to bring your issues to the table. I mean,
sure.
I make the case of sewer in Region 1, for instance, because I was deployed in the Soshanguve, Mabopane, Harangua, Winterfeld areas. When I escalated, I went for my site visits, I escalated to him, listen, this is the situation. I've met the families affected. Can you do something about Region 1? In the budget, there's a line item, 6.2 million, that was to address the issue of sewer.
Yeah.
So because of that, I mean, the issue of insourcing, for instance, it was a lot of work. I mean, it's not even, you know, because we were not the only coalition partners. There were other partners, and I think he was fair in the way that he, you know, he ran us as the MECO. But I do believe that in addition to the concerns that we had in Tshwane, we can't ignore the impact or the influence of the national politics after the 29th May elections.
Right, we're going to talk about coalitions. Okay. We're going to talk about plans for Tshwane and all that. Our special guest on the show this morning, Dr. Nasipi Moya, the new executive mayor of the city of Tshwane. Any questions? And I see them coming in. I promise you. That we'll get to them in a moment.
You're with your own family. Breakfast with Martin Bester.
In studio this morning with us, our very special guest, the new executive mayor of the city of Tshwane, Dr. Nasipi Moya. Thank you so much again for your time and coming in. I'm sure you have a lot to do. Doesn't seem like an easy job to me from where I'm sitting. And I did promise to get some questions out from you this morning, 0848500942. So let's get right into them. Let's start here.
What will make you better than Celia Brink? Because he did one hell of a job in Pretoria.
I think we kind of touched on that a little bit. Let's maybe... ask, what would you continue that he started? Would there be anything?
Yes. So it's difficult for me to say what will I do better than him. It's an unfair comparison. That's not why we do what we do. We don't compare each other, you know, ourselves to each other like that. But there's some work that was started by the previous coalition. One of it was the issue of trying to stabilize finances.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of work that was done with the National Treasury, with the AG, just to put in the controls, the systems, the procedures to make sure that what happened the other financial year where we got adverse audit findings, we don't repeat that. And there was a lot of progress that we've made.
So that was on track?
Yes. Definitely. So even last week, we received the update from the CFO and the city manager. And so far, I've just spoken to someone from AG, and they said, no, they are happy with how we are responding also to the findings. So that is very much on track. I can assure the residents that we won't get adverse findings anytime soon. I think we've learned our lessons.
Okay.
And whatever that emanated from there, because there were some, for instance, the issue of property, a plant and equipment, it was one of the biggest findings that we received, and we were not cracking it as yet, but we're putting in now, we are continuing with that work to make sure that we are responding to that finding. So we had three main findings, and during the previous coalition, the two were addressed. There was one that now we need to focus on addressing on the PPE. So that work is continuing, but also in terms of the just building the fiscal of the city. The work has started, and I think what is helping in Tshwane is the stability on the side of the administration. The city manager has all his executives in place. So, and now most of them, they were finishing a year in office, and those are competent experts, you know, that has helped us to get here. So for as long as we continue to support the work that they are doing, we're going to be good.
I suppose that's what makes the question a fair question, because it's not just about Silja Brink. It's about you were his deputy. You seem like a pretty formidable team, and you got along. So what you're saying is that's also something for you to be proud of, is the work that you started with Silja seems to pay off. You're getting good audits when it comes to, you know, getting the financial situation on track to be better.
Yes.
So that's a good thing. Are these things... So just on that, and hearing what you said before the break about the transition... To continue this kind of work and to follow a path of getting the city stable, why did you go to ANC and EFF? Why was it necessary to form that coalition to continue what seemed to be something good that you started?
Well, as I said, as Action SA, we started to have to reflect on our place in the coalition. Obviously, when we came into the coalition, we had things that we needed to do as a party.
Mm.
And the assessment of the party was that we're not making inroads. And I mean, we also reflected on our performance in 2024 and said, listen, what could have been the causes for this as an independent party?
As a party. Okay.
All of this has been about us finding our own voice as and independence as a party, and to chart our own future. And so one of the things that we said, can we also look in Tshwane where we are in coalition? Because in Joburg, we tried to remain in coalition, and DA never cooperated with us. In Ekurhuleni, we tried to remain in the coalition. DA basically did the opposite of everything that we asked for there. Hence, we opted out in 2022. Joburg, we did everything, including giving out, you know, like sacrificing positions. Say, listen, DA, we'll rather do this to keep that going. Then it came to Tshwane, because we're only in councils, in six councils, three here, three in KZN. And obvious, because we're in opposition in KZN, there wasn't much that we can get from there. Then everyone said, no, but look at Tshwane. Is Tshwane helping, or, you know, is it helping us as a party?
As a party, yes. About the Action SA. So, and that's where politics comes in.
Yeah.
Because
yes.
it kind of seems like you would have made all these decisions and breaks and changes for what is better for Action SA.
Not really. Remember what we said when we entered the coalition. We entered with a list of service delivery demands.
Okay.
And we had to assess against that and to say in this coalition. So then we did a couple of exercises. One was the exercise of just looking at the books of the city, the liquidity and the trend. Remember, we've been in a coalition since 2021, led by the same political party, which is the Democratic Alliance, whether it was, you know, Randall or Silja, that was the Democratic Alliance leading us. We looked at the trends of service delivery, the issues of audit, and also then said, okay, so is the party that is leading us, you know, are we seeing improvements? Can we do something different, you know, if we have different like partners? And so when the conversation started with the ANC, and you know, then we said, listen, we just need a coalition partners that are going to hear us out. And I promise you, there are many things that we needed to suppress for the stability of the coalition, which we have given. And that's why everyone was so shocked that this was our response. The fights I had with my own caucus to make the coalition work, because they felt we were just taking punches. And that's what our members were doing, to say, you guys are just doing this for the DA. We're not finding your voice. And how you find your voice is how you express yourself in the service, in our manifesto, the service delivery in our areas, you know. So it was a combination of what our caucus, who deal with his colleagues every day. I mean, I was the deputy to Silja, but I can tell you, I think I've had two meetings, closed meetings with him for a period of 9 months.
Mm.
But I did what I needed to do. Mm. And I mean, I know that he was having more conversation with DA MMCs than us. But at MECO, we worked together. We sure. supported what yeah. we needed to support in a coalition. And everyone started to relax because now things are stable. We can always call NACP and undermine the caucus leader. So there were things that were happening. But because my party said, go make sure that the coalition is stable, and we don't do this for contrary to how it looks, we do put residents first and say, okay. listen, So there were efforts to make the coalition work, but there were things we couldn't ignore.
So the good work that you were part of, that you pointed out just now, would the EFF and the ANC, did they acknowledge that?
Yes.
Did they acknowledge that and basically congratulated you with what has been done up until now with some of the reports and that you said just now came back that kind of pointed towards good things?
Yeah. So on Tuesday last week, we received the State of the City report from the administration.
Yeah.
And it was actually MMC Obageng who said, we need to acknowledge that there's work that has been done here, good work that has been done. I don't think it's going to get to a congratulations, though. That's not how politicians work.
I was just about
work.
To say, but it was acknowledged.
It was in our meeting. Now I'm leaking deliberations of our meeting, which I'm not supposed to do. But yes, I'm just saying, because you mentioned the EFF in particular, and people are very skeptical of the EFF.
Was it a controversial decision?
No, it's truth. It's the truth. I think for us as human beings, it's good that we must tell the truth. Yes, there's politicking, there's tactics and everything, but we mustn't compromise the truth because of that.
So when I watched you online with your, was it the committee announcement?
Mm-hmm.
The mayoral committee mm-hmm. announcement to your... left-hand side was Panyaza Lesufi. He seemed quite busy because he was getting up and getting down. At one stage, you looked towards him almost that you wanted to say to him, just settle down. Because it seemed like it was your...
Yes.
I mean, it's your meeting, right?
Yes.
It's kind of your announcement.
Yes.
So does that mean also you have to work very closely with him?
One of the things that I can repeat, and I've said it even during the negotiations, Tshwane has been alienated from other spheres of government.
Okay.
To a point where one of the issues that we raised with MMC Mamabolo when we met him on Friday was... our IGR matters don't get resolved because Tshwane is this standalone municipality. While all other municipalities are getting support, Tshwane has been alienated. And they say you don't even attend IGR meetings. And so we must, in terms of our constitution, we must work with the premier, with his executive. We must work with the cabinet ministers. We must work with the president because... Union buildings is in our city. Mm-hmm. So we need to have a good relationship with other spheres of government and other municipalities. You will see me talking to Morero. You'll see me talking to Kagaza because we've got issues that affect all municipalities. Mm-hmm. The issue of the pollution in the Apis River, it comes from up there. But we're not saying those things because I can't sit with both mayors and say, what are we going to do about this problem?
You need
because
to work together?
We must work together. So for me, people said, no, that means you are being handled. Guys, we cannot overemphasize the importance of working together.
Was that an allegation that you're being handled by Panyaza Lesufi?
Listen, I have had all sorts of allegations, puppet mayor, Gwamanda 2.0, sorts of racist remarks, sexist remarks, ageist remarks, all sorts of things. But one of the things was that why is the premier there? And my point was, it's a good sign. We're working together, premier oversees the municipalities. What is wrong with us working together? And that's the silo mentality that has actually gotten us to the problems that we have. That, I mean, when we brief them about the state of Tshwane, they are shocked. You're not supposed to be shocked. You're supposed to know what's happening in Tshwane because it's in your province. So I don't see it as a bad thing. That's the point.
I'm asking all the questions again, and that is so wrong. I see questions coming in because, you know what, the citizens, the people that live in Tshwane, they want to know about very specific stuff.
Yes.
We'll get into that, I promise you. Beluva. 084 850 0942, if you're just tuning in. The new executive mayor of Tshwane, our special guest on the show this morning, Dr. Nasipe Moya. Enige vrae vir haar is baie welkom, soos altyd.
This is Breakfast with Martin Bester, Jacaranda FM.
The good doctor in the house. How are you? Thank you very much for hanging with us. I appreciate it. It's up and down and in and out, and you've got things to do.
Yes.
I'm sure. Not one of the easiest jobs around. Okay, now we've spoken about all the things that led up to this point. People want to have, they want to know specifics. You know how this goes. And I hope you have answers for these questions. Are you ready?
Yes.
Let's go.
When is anybody going to fix our streetlights and our robots that's not been working for years? Because, for instance, this robot at the big intersection at the R562 and the R55 has been out for more than 15 years that I've been traveling this every day. And you really, really risk your life crossing that intersection every day.
That's a long time.
It is.
Sure.
Should I go?
Yeah, please.
So that's a provincial road. And one of the things, I know Yusuf Abramji, I mean, on Twitter, every week without fail, he reminds us of R55. And I think it's one of the things I said to him, when I meet with the infrastructure MEC, I'm going to raise the issue of R55. So we do have roads in Tshwane that obviously belong to province, and they do have tendencies of forgetting to maintain their roads and fix their infrastructure in the city. So it's one of the things that I've said I will raise. But I know that Yusuf is one of the people that have raised this every weekend, tech, all of us, including the provincial government. But so, in the city of Tshwane, though, we it's one of the things that we were focusing on, even as the previous coalition, the issue of lighting up the city, whether it's street lights or public, the high mast lights, because there are regions where it works better for high mast lights, and because of theft and vandalism when it comes to street lights. So it's even today at 1 o'clock, we actually have a service delivery war room just to consolidate our teams and have plans in terms of where do we start in terms of public lighting. So that's the plans for the city of Tshwane, but for the R55 and the provincial roads, we need to escalate to province.
What are the provincial roads? So it'll be
R80, R55, R21. Yes, so those would be the provincial roads.
So
ours, it's M.
Okay, so M would be the metros?
Yes.
And
N? Municipalities is national. So that's where ASANRAL is responsible for those ones.
Yeah.
The N. So N1 is SANRAL. You'll see SANRAL. If it's R80, that's a provincial road, or R55 or R21, those are provincial. If it's M21, M whatever, then that's a municipal road.
My street's got no letter.
No,
who's
streets
that?
Are different.
It's M.
It's M. Yeah, that's M. Yeah, so that's in the domain of the municipality. Yes.
Dr. Nasipe Moya, our special guest on the show this morning, and people want to know about the specifics. Your job is, it's wide, it's broad, because you're dealing with the basic of basic needs. On the one side, water, electricity. And then it goes up to getting, well, not fancier, but, you know, streetlights, which I suppose a lot of people in South Africa have taken as a luxury.
Yeah.
You move around, you see some places have more streetlights than others. And then, of course, there is this service.
What are your plans for refuse collection? Because it has just been empty promises since the very beginning, since elections, really, because there was going to be replacement vehicles, proper working vehicles, so refuse collection can take place. And Celia had mentioned that contractors mustn't have vehicles older than 5 years, which obviously is in the best interest of the community. What is the plans going forward for refuse collection in Tshwane?
So we've got new contractors that are supposed to do the work. The only area that I know was struggling a bit was the Mamelodi area, because the allegation was that the old contractors were making it difficult for the new contractors to work there. I will need to understand which area is this, because that has not been a widespread, except for informal settlements where we struggle with illegal dumping or where we do not collect. But the other areas, I will need just the specific area there if we have a problem there. But the new contractors, they've started working. And of course, we're having a discussion with the department in terms of capacitating ourselves, you know, as part of the building internal capacity discussion that we are having, which is going to be a policy intervention. But the new contractors have worked, except for Mamelodi. There are no other areas that I've heard that they are struggling with that.
Is that a reality? What is the word you use now? Basically the foul play that comes in, the destruction of maybe substations, or they're on the refuse side. Someone loses a contract, they make it hard for the new people. Even I've heard allegations, you know, when it comes to politicking can get dirty.
Yes.
How would you deal with that? How would you stop people vandalizing to make a point or to spite?
We must protect our infrastructure. The one thing that through the Tswaneya Tima that I've realized is that we open up our infrastructure to so many people through contractors. What they do, you would disconnect a person at 9, they call a previous contractor because they know your infrastructure, they connect them illegally. So our infrastructure is vulnerable in that way. So one of the things that we will do is to protect our infrastructure however we do it, because we can do physical guards, which are not the best in the situation, because, I mean, there's infrastructure that you can't just... They come and they tie them and they take whatever they want to take. We need to... A mixture of the human bodies and technology. We need to rely a lot on technology to protect our infrastructure. For instance, what happened in Pyramid, I said to the colleagues, please do not increase the anxiety that's already in Tswane because of the political instability. These allegations, the sabotage. Let's get to the bottom of things. But there are cases where it was either theft and vandalism, because we are not protecting infrastructure. Also, we mustn't always blame others. We didn't blame, for instance, in Soshanguve, the substation that that burned down the other week. It was because I've been to that substation and there were drug addicted kids that stay on the other site. So obviously that's not a protected infrastructure or asset. So that happens. But then when we go to Pyramid, basically someone came in and they just cut the cord and the substation blew up, and it cost us millions. The residents were without electricity for 10 days. And now the team is going to give us the report to say what actually happened, who came in there, what is the kind of security that we had there. And this happened on the 2nd of October. Now, it's not cynical to say, but it could be sabotage. But question is, okay, we get that people do what they need to do. What are we doing to make sure those things don't happen? Because when they happen, they do inconvenience residents. So the main thing is protecting our infrastructure. And I mean, every municipality is having the same discussion. How do we protect our infrastructure?
What are your thoughts about private partners?
They have a role to play. Where I think for me we draw the line is when the municipality outsources its responsibility to private partners. I don't like that. A municipality must still honor its constitutional obligation with the help of the private sector, with the help of NGOs. That is very much welcome. We do have in the legislation, we do have, you know, different ways, provisions in which we can do, whether it's public private partnerships, or you give them a tender to do it on your behalf. So there is a role. I mean, issues of MOUs. I know one of the MOUs that everyone is talking about is the MOU with AfriForum. That is one of 68 MOUs that the city has with organizations that we work with. So there's nothing abnormal about the MOU or the AfriForum MOU. It's signed by the accounting officer. So there's a role.
It's got
to
a place.
Play. It's got a place. If you don't, I mean, on Saturday, Mamelodi, there was a group of organizations that came together to clean Mamelodi. we can't say no to that. In fact, we must be bending our knees to thank them for doing that, to augment the work that we do. Because the reality is that the finances of the city are not going to help us reach to areas, to all areas as we want to. Not yet anyway. I mean, I'm having a meeting with the business chamber on Thursday, they've done a lot of work in terms of protecting the infrastructure in Roslyn, for instance. Umfani is the chairperson of the chamber.
Umfani, I
call him that. I don't know his surname. I've always called him Umfani. I'm sorry.
Umfani.
Yeah. I don't know him.
You know him?
No, I don't. Yeah.
And so, it's for Umfani.
But it sounds like a man.
Umfani.
I don't know all Fani's.
I'm okay not Umfani.
Yes, Martin, I believe you. You don't have know any Umfani. So.
I do think he lives in Port Elizabeth, in Kuberga.
He's the chairperson of the chamber. So we're meeting on Thursday because obviously this is a business. It needs the city to work for business, to work for the city. So we've got this interdependency that we must talk about. Of course, the meetings extend to faith-based organization leaders, the universities, because we do have a student population, the diplomatic corps. So there's a space in government is for everyone. So there's a space for everyone to play a role.
Because it does seem that when communities get involved, I mean, we obviously know it from as back as gated communities through to communities cleaning up the areas, looking at public spaces, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, sometimes it's a hollow victory because you want government to do it for you or you want the municipality to do it for you. Mm. But let's be honest, no one was going to sit around waiting for the SAPS to get it right. That's why we all pay security fees with private security companies. Mm. So there is a place.
Yes. So, in fact, it was, I think, 2-3 months ago, Celia had a statement about 4,000 streetlights that are being fixed in the CBD.
Yes.
It's with partnership with Sanlam.
Well, there you go.
And I mean, I know in Centurion, SAB has gotten involved. So, no, the city does have very healthy relationships that are not depending private on partners. Politicians, by the way. Mm. They are with the city of Tshwane, the government.
Talking about, the one thing that he did say, and he felt very strongly about it the last time he was on the show, was appointing people that were the best person for the job.
Yes.
That is not necessarily from your political party.
Yes.
So appointing whoever from... do you believe in that? I think the example you used was the city manager, was it?
Yeah, the city manager was no affiliation to... Yeah.
So your new coalition partners, do they respect that?
Yes. Well, one of the things we have agreed on, if we want stability, you can't do stability with polyficials. You need...
Oh, I like that word.
Yeah. So you need. Yeah. No, you need. In fact, one of the first discussions I had with the CM was, keep your executive to your side. I'll keep my politicians to my side. The moment they cross over, they're going to complicate our lives. There are things I can't defend. I can't defend things that were discussed over beer at 11 p.m. when I was sleeping. Mm. I do sleep, by the way.
Really?
Yes.
Listen, your outfit this morning. Yes. I see you're wearing a DA blue there?
It's politically incorrect outfit, I admit. Yes, and also there's a black. It's not ANC black. Yes. At least I'm open to multi-party ideas. Yes, so
basically... That is when you can prove that you are accessible.
Yes. No, but this is my outfit about 4 days, four of the five working days.
Makes
the
sense.
The only day that you will see me looking like the girl that I am is on Mako days, because we're in the boardroom.
Oh.
Even then, my safety boots are always in the car. My sneakers are always in the car. I've got a jacket in case I must go somewhere unplanned, and I have a little dress somewhere there in case I have to go meet someone.
Okay.
So there's a lot of changing outfits during the day because it's just logistically impossible to get home every time your diary changes. But Yes, even yesterday we went to a university hackathon, event with where we had, which is awesome, 123 students who were presenting their solutions to the challenges, energy challenges, and our issues with tourism in the city.
Yes.
So when we went there, one of the MMCs was actually in the in pants exactly like these ones and safety boots, and she said, "We never know with you, so we must come prepared." And at that time, I'm in high heels. So.
You know, when you were wearing that this morning, I thought to myself, "This mayor thinks we're hard work."
She was preparing.
She's come prepared.
Yeah. Well, from here, I need to go to Soshanguve and Winterfell. The storm has caused a lot of damage.
I know.
Yeah, so we need to, it's not only them, but other MMCs are going to other regions just to be with the teams, make sure they have what they need to help communities. So obviously we must address, so we don't have areas we can't go to because our shoes are not good for that.
That's very practical. Mm-hmm. I like that. Listen, before I let you go, which soccer team do you support?
I support Sundowns, SuperSport, and Blue Bulls.
That is very diplomatic.
That, I was gonna get,
that is very.
She knows. I was gonna get to the rugby.
I'm saving you time.
Very clever.
We're gonna get a message from the Titans cricket team, but let's not go there yet.
Why be that guy?
I am that guy.
Why be that?
I'm already in the dog box. Please do not prolong this conversation.
What song lifts your day?
There's a song that I've been listening to since January because I thought my problems were too many now. Called Nceda by Phuthuma and
Ntsika.
Yes. So basically it says help, so it's a gospel song, help that my life is not in any person's hands but in your hands, as in God's hands.
Okay.
So that's what lifts me up. But on any, when I'm busy, I listen to Maskandi. So my dad, who introduced me to Maskandi music, loved Umfazi Omnyama. So anything. Yes.
I gotcha.
Thank you.
Listen, great pleasure having you on the show this morning.
Thank you.
I hope it wasn't hard work, because your hard work starts now.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
Good luck the rest of the day. And you know what? As long as the citizens, the people who live in Tshwane and surrounds, as long as they win, people are going to be happy. And I know you're going to have to be strong, and but you are. So thank you very much, because you're from the Eastern Cape.
Yes, definitely.
We also start me. So you are strong people. Thank you very much for spending time with us this morning. All the best. And yeah, go for Tshwane.
Can I say one thing,
yes,
though, to the residents? So I'm a patriot. I'm a South African first. So all these fears about a divided Tshwane, that won't happen under my watch. If I can't unite Tshwane, I will quit.
Right. I will applaud that, and thank you for that. Thank you very, very much. Much appreciated. It's so nice to meet you, and thank you for being on the show, good doctor.
Thank you so much.
Breakfast with Martin Besser. 6 to 9 weekdays. Jacaranda FM.